Menachos per Gilim Mishnah base 3:2. The Mishnah turns its attention to other things that could potentially go wrong with a mincha, aside from the four essential avodas. Okay, now the governing principle for what we're talking about here is the psukim require all sorts of things when it comes to bringing menachos. If the pasuk mentions it just once, so then it's understood that's a mitzvah to do. But if you fail to do it, it's not me'akev; it doesn't render the korban invalid after the fact. If the verses repeat a tzivui, a command twice, then it's understood to be li'ikuva, it's ma'akev, it's essential, and if one fails to do it, then even b'diavad, after the fact, now the korban becomes invalid. So the Mishnah is going to, in the first part here, discuss a bunch of things that's supposed to happen with the mincha, and generally say, well, all those things, essentially, if you fail to do it, that wasn't good, you didn't do the mincha properly, but after the fact, the mincha is okay. Okay, I'm going to discuss a few finer details in a moment. But since the Mishnah has very few words in describing what it's talking about, and also it doesn't do it in the chronology, the normal sequence in which menachos are offered, let me just discuss these outside first, then we'll see it inside in just a short list. So, making a mincha, as I said in the introduction to the Masechta, the way it works is the mincha is made inside a klisharis, like called a mixing bowl, the consecrated mixing bowl. And for most menachos, the way it works is you put some of the oil, remember, everyone essentially has an isaron of like a gallon of flour and a lug, half a liter of oil. But what happens is you put some oil in the bottom of the mixing bowl typically, then you add all the flour, then you do a second addition of some oil, you mix it together. That's called belila, but sometimes that second pouring of the oil on top before the mixing is called belila also. And then after it's mixed up, then you'll add the remaining bit of oil, a third pouring of oil, that's called the yitzika, and that's all the oil. And then if it's going to be a raw mincha, you give it to the kohen. If it's a non-kohen prepared it, the kohen will do hagasha, bringing the bowl to the corner, the southwest corner of the mizbeach. And after that, after the hagasha, then he'll do the kamitza and so on, and offer them the komets on the mizbeach typically, or the whole thing on the mizbeach if there's no kamitza. And before the komets or the whole mincha goes in the mizbeach, there's also malicha, there's a salting. Okay, it must be salted. Salt's applied to it. And it goes on with salt onto the mizbeach. In the event that it's a minchas nadava, a voluntary offering, so we said there are five types of minchas nadava, and four of them are cooked in some way. They're not raw batter, raw dough. Two of them are essentially fried. That's a machvas and a marcheshes. And two of them are essentially baked. Those are both not, they're both like not chametz stick, but they're either called chalos or rakikin. A chala, kind of like a Sephardic matzah, and rakikin, based like Ashkenazi matzah. In those cases, after they come out of the oven, so then, or the frying pan, or whatever, so then they are, there's psisa. Psisa is essentially you fold up the loaves, breaking them into pieces, and you're possessed, you break it down so that it should be that it's crumbled into pieces that are kazayas, an olive's volume and size. That's the ideal. Okay? So there's psisa. There's a question of when yitzika comes in that process. If you're talking about rakikin, so the wafer, so then instead of, what happens is, instead of doing the balila, adding the oil then, what happens is, you have just a little oil at the beginning, perhaps, machlokas rishonim, and then after you mix them with water and you bake them in the oven, and then you'll do meshicha. Meshicha, you'll essentially smear the oil onto the rakikin, the crackers, the wafers, and it's absorbed in, okay? So those are like the different things that can go on with a mincha. Our Mishnah is going to say essentially all those things, if you fail to do them, so then that wasn't good, but b'di'evid, the mincha remains kosher. Okay? Just to add some color to that, the fact is that one or two actually are me'akev, despite what the Mishnah says. One of them is yitzika. You have to do yitzika, pouring a bit of oil at the very end, and therefore the Mishnah has to be reinterpreted to understand that when it says, if you didn't do yitzika, lo yatzak, it's still kosher. What we mean is that a Kohen didn't do yitzika, but a non-Kohen did it. And it's a machlokas if you need to have malicha b'di eved, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, on the tzad to say that you do need malicha b'di eved, so the Mishnah also would mean that you didn't put, that a Kohen didn't put salt at the end, but a non-Kohen did it. Okay, that's the gist of the Mishnah. The Mishnah inside says, the first half anyways, the Mishnah inside said as follows, lo yatzak, if you fail to do the third pouring of the oil, it's going to be kosher. Again, like I told you before, that means you have to reinterpret it to be not literally, but rather a kohen didn't do yatzika. Or velo balal, if you didn't do the balila, you didn't do the second pouring of the oil before you mix it in the bowl. Again, b'di'evah, that's okay. Let me clarify that we're saying here, if you skipped the second pouring of oil, the balal, that's going to be okay. It won't make it invalid. But remember, there's a very specific quantity of oil required, the full lug of shemen. And if you have less than a lug, it'll be for sure possible even b'di'evah. So we're saying, when we say lo balal, what we mean is essentially perhaps that the oil was poured on before in the first stage and or the last stage and just skipped the middle stage. But not that there's oil missing from the recipe. Okay? Lo pasas, if you fail to crumble it by folding, you have to break it into pieces to the size of a kazayas, or if you folding didn't break it up at all, it would also be kosher. Here, Bartner speaks out, there's a practical problem. You have to at least crumble some of it up so you can get a kometz worth, okay? Because you need to, for typical minchas, with any carbon that needs psisa, which are the minchas nadava, you just put one kometz amount in the mizbeach, the rest eaten by the kohanim, so you'd need to get a kometz amount to go on the mizbeach. That would require psisa, and you have to break up, you can't give a whole loaf of bread, so you need at least that much crumbling up done. Lo malach, if you fail to salt the carbon, the kometz, or whatever's going on in the mizbeach, and again, like I told you, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, maybe you don't need it at all, and maybe you do need it, it's makah b'di'evid, and therefore, according to that shot, it would just be that non-Kohen did it, which would be highly unusual, but okay. Then you have lo heinif. I actually didn't mention this in the Hagdama. There are two menachos that have tenufa, have waving, specifically the korban omer, and the minchas omer, in other words, and the minchas kanaos, the one that's brought with the sota. So those two korbanos have a waving procedure before they're offered, and the waving is like a lulav kind of in all four directions, up and down. So if you fail to do the lohenif, if you fail to do the tenufa, again, that's no good. But b'di eved, you are yotzi. Just note, the Bartanura says lohenif, he says, b'minchas chote o minchas kanaos. That is almost for sure a taos sofrim, a mistake in the printing. I don't want to crypt in, but the minchas chote does not need a tenufa. It's the minchas omer that does. So that's just, the pasha is simply a mistake in the printing of the Bartanura. Okay, lo higish, says the Mishnah, if the Kohen failed to bring the bowl prior to Kamita to touch it to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, again, b'di'evah, that's okay. Oh, shepsasan pitim merubos, or if he, we're going to announce if you did psisa, but you made the psisim into psisim merubos. So merubos could either mean big pieces, too big, or too many, which would mean too small, of course. Either it's too big or too small. The same merubos can mean either or. Now, the Bartanura learns we're talking about it being into big pieces, which is fine. It's a little strange logically because Mishnah already said if you didn't do it at all, it's no good. It's okay b'di'evid. So if you didn't do any psis at all, it's okay b'di'evid. It stands to reason that if it did it, just not good enough into big pieces, it would be okay b'di'evid. And if that's the pshat, so the answer is you might have had a tzad to say, you might have thought, listen, if they're whole, they're chalos, they're as they should be, that's better than just broken up to bits but not psisin as they should be. In any case, that's the Bartanura's approach. Others learn that psisim merubos means it's a small pieces, and the idea is if you over-crumble it, so the pieces are too small, still b'di'evit, it's okay. At all events, the Rambam posits the halacha that ideally it should be into pieces, folded and crumbled to pieces the size of a kazayas, olives amount, and if it's too big or too small, it is okay b'di'evit. Or velo mashachan, if you fail to smear the oil on top of the rakikin, you skip that step. In all those cases, ksheros b'di'evid, the mincha is kosher. But the caveat I described before about lo yatzak and maybe lo malach, which maybe you need to have. Okay. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Now, the second part of the Mishnah is like a whole new topic. In fact, in the Bavli, it's a whole new Mishnah. We're now beginning the topic of what happens if your kometz gets mixed up with other stuff. So it's not, what do you do then? So the cases of our Mishnah here are where the kometz gets mixed up with things which anyways are going to be burned in total on the all entirely burned on the mizbeach. That being the case, you're not going to have too much of a problem. That's what the Mishnah says here. Nisarev kumtza, if you have your mincha, and your mincha has the kometz, we'll call it mincha A. Mincha A has the kometz taken from it, so you have kometz from A, but that gets mixed up, but kometz chaverta, with another kometz from mincha B. So the answer is going to be, okay, so put them both on the Mizbeach and you'll be okay. Or if Kometz A gets mixed up, B'minchas Kohanim, when a Kohen brings a Mincha, whatever Mincha he brings, the rule is that the Kohanim, their Menachos are burned entirely. So your Kometz of A gets mixed up with the Mincha from Kohen B. So again, it's all going on the Mizbeach, so it's going to be okay. Or B'minchas Kohanim Mashiach, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, the anointed Kohen's Mincha, is referring to the Kohen Gadol's Mincha, which is referring to the Minchas Chavitin, or the Chavite Kohen Gadol. Every day the Kohen Gadol brings a Mincha, and it's in minutes 12 loaves, essentially, half in the morning, half in the afternoon. So the point is that the Chavitin is entirely burned. So if your Kometz from A gets mixed up with the Chavitin, so what, you'll put all in the Mizbeach, it's going to be fine. Or Minchas Nesachin. We discussed this in the end of the last parak. Minchas Nesachin. Those are the accompanying Mincha that comes with every Ola and every Shlamim. Mitzorah is also. So those again are totally, there's no Kometz. It's all burned in the Mizbeach. So therefore, if your Kometz gets mixed up with these things, which either it's also a Kometz or it has no Kometz, so it's all getting burned, then Kshera. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. You burn it and everyone's Yoti. Kshera sounds like in the singular, but actually both of the Karbanos in question here, Mincha A and whatever it is, Mincha B, are both kosher. Okay, Kshera is in singular because we're talking about the Kometz, but it's both are kosher. Now, two of those Korbanos, they mentioned this list here, are the consistency of the Mincha is different. Two of them are very oily. Your typical Mincha has a recipe of one isaron of flour, a gallon of flour, and a lug, basically half a liter of oil. So it's basically like 1/8 oil, okay? And the 7/8 flour. Now, let's see. Okay, so that it's not exactly right, but okay. Now let's if you mix it up, what's going to happen is it's going to be like dough, called thick dough. In contrast, two of the items on the list. Let's focus on the nesachim here for a second. So the minchas nesachim that accompanies an ola and a shlamim. If what's being brought as an ola or shlamim is a goat or a sheep in its first year, so then the recipe for the minchas nesachim is an isaron of flour mixed with not one, but three lugan of oil. What the pasuk refers to as a revius hahin, a quarter of a hin, but a hin is 12 lug, so revius is three. So it's three times more oily. And that is referred to in the Chazal, in the Mishnah, etc., as balila raka, a thin mixture, as opposed to balila ava, a thick mixture. So essentially, the consistency of most menachos is, let's call it, it's like dough, thick like dough, but the minchas nesachim, and we'll see in a second also the mincha of the Kohen Gadol, is raka, it's like batter, like it's thin, like batter, okay, full of oil. So, according to Rabbi Huda, who's going to argue here on a mission, he's going to say, although he agreed, the Tanakhama and the halacha is, if everything in the mixture is going to go on the Mizbeach, put on the Mizbeach, everything's cool, b'di'evin, no problem. Rabbi Huda says, listen, you have a problem if it's going to be a balila raka, like a very oily batter, mixed up with a kometz of balila ava, of dough, because so much, it's like swimming in oil, so much oil can mix up with the kometz that the kometz could be mostly oil, more oil than flour. And then you have what's like bits of barov, you have the kometz to be mostly oil and a minority flour, so the flour loses its status. Like bitzel, good old-fashioned bitzel borov, you know, the rice, the minority loses identity in the mixture against the majority. And therefore, Rabbi Huda is going to say, if you have the one kometz of balila ava mixed up with the whole mincha of balila raka, that soft, oily batter, so then the kometz loses identity, bitzel borov, and the mincha A, mincha aleph, mincha one, whatever I called it, will not be yotzi. You put it on the fire, the other mincha, the nesachim will be fine, or the chavitim will be fine, because it's all of the mizbeach. But the kometz lost its status, says Rabbi Yehuda. Hacham disagree, they say, no, not true. So, the Mishnah says inside, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'minchas kohen mashiach or minchas nesachim, if your kometz gets mixed up with these, and it's a blila, it's a thick one, gets mixed up with one of these very oily thin ones, psula, your kometz becomes pasul, shazu blilasa ava, because your kometz is like a thick dough, Vazublilasa raka, and the mixture of the chavit and the kol mashiach's mincha and the minchas nesachim is raka. It's like a thin batter full of oil. Vehein bola zumizu, and they absorb oil one from the other. So the kometz, which was supposed to be thick and ava, absorbs so much oil from the thin runny raka one that there's a bitzel barov. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Chacham disagree. The Chacham say no. They say bitzel barov is true. That's a Doraisa principle, and it would be true here as well. It's just that there's a separate principle, which is called, referred to as olin, or olin ein mevatlin zed zeh, which is a principle which says that things that go on the mizbeach, they can't be, bitzel doesn't, they don't affect one doesn't affect bitzel on the other, annul the other status. So even though you have a minority and a majority mixed together, it doesn't matter, nothing loses identity, everything on the mizbeach stays with its identity, and therefore, even if you would have your komets overwhelmed with oil, still, there's no bittel, and the kometz that goes on is yotzi. So according to the Chacham and the Halacha, Tanakama, Chacham, Halacha, all say you put the mixture of one kometz and the Nesachim, let's say, on the Mizbeach, and everything's good. Rabbi Yehuda would say the kometz isn't good, bittel, so you're not, the mincha is not yotzi, the person who brought the mincha is not yotzi. The Nesachim would still be kosher, and therefore the Nesachim bringer would be yotzi. But Halacha is like the Chacham, they're both yotzi because they both got burned in the Mizbeach, and the principle of Olin, or Olin name of Alin Zetze, says there's no bitzel barov when it comes to things that are supposed to be burned on the Mizbeach.